Church, it's so good to see you this morning. I say that probably every time I stand up, but I really do mean it. The more I say it, the more you should appreciate it, I guess, because it is the truth. I've been looking forward to getting back this morning and seeing everyone. And if you're visiting, just please know that you're welcome. We appreciate you being here. Just love to see the church house full. And there's a good number here this morning. I thank God for that. If you will, let's be turning to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Looked at several different places this week and studying, praying throughout the week and preparing for today. It's kind of a twofold thing. My schedule, kind of how that works is prepare starting around Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, prepare for Wednesday night. And then after that, after Wednesday night around Thursday, start trying to prepare for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, prepare for Sunday. So there's always a preparation, it seems like, in taking place. I do enjoy going through Bible studies on Wednesday night. I think it's good because it causes us to learn. It forces us, really, to be honest with you, as a student, it forces us to take in the easier things with the harder things, but it helps us uncover things that we might not purposely look for. So I definitely appreciate that. I appreciate good Bible studies, and I appreciate messages that the Lord gives me, and I pray, and I ask that you help me pray, that the Lord would always send the message that we need. You know, that's one of the things I've learned. There's a lot of things I need in my life, but the Bible isn't just preaching to me. It's preaching to all of us. It's what we need as a whole, and a lot of times what I need is what you need and vice versa, but sometimes there are things you need specific to you. I thought a lot the past couple of weeks and just kind of thinking what it's, I guess, what some of the things I've experienced is sometimes the feeling of discouragement or the feeling of being alone. And I tell you, that's by design. I know there's introverted people, there's extroverted people, there's sometimes you get tired of peopling and you do want your alone time. But a lot of the time that I've thought that I've had enough peopling time, I've been by myself. Maybe Brandy and Josh go to visit her mom or something, and maybe just me and Cookie there, but the house is very quiet. And I'm like, man, I wish that racket would come back so I could not feel so alone. I don't like it when it's just so quiet sometimes. Good quiet time is good sometimes, but you know, I like it when I can feel the presence of people, the presence of life and friendship and fellowship. That's important. And let me tell you today, that's why church is so important. The devil, Brother Terry, would like for us to feel like we're alone. Brother, you hit it right on the head in Sunday or in the prayer room. I've thought a lot about that specific thing the last couple of weeks. You know, you want to get along with God sometimes, but I find also, Brother Nathan, sometimes you're not necessarily alone. The devil likes to kind of creep in during that time too, and he likes to put thoughts in your mind. He wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel discouraged. He wants you to think all kinds of things and get stuff in your mind. And next thing you know, you're way down the road and nobody else is thinking what you're thinking. It's just how the devil knows how to attack you and how to slow you down. You know, church is a team related thing. That's why you see so much in the Bible about unity, about membership, about fellowship, about being together, because God knows we need that. We're created to be that way. But also, too, and not to be naive, you know, there are battles that we face one-on-one sometimes. Let's be real about that. There's things that you're facing and that you might be facing somewhat alone, but I don't want you to know you're not alone. You have support. But you have to be confirmed in your mind that you're on the right track. Had a good time last night. It was my first time going to watch Coach Bentley's team wrestle, and it was a great night. Come back with the win. That's a wonderful thing. And there's different sports or different things we can pull analogies from, but you know, wrestling's different than football, basketball, baseball, team sports, where if you're having an off day, you kind of rely on your teammate or what have you. You know, if you're wrestling, Brother John Mark, it's you and your opponent. It's you and your adversary. You've got to put all that in there. So there's times that we need to be assured as individuals, but know that we are assured as a body and as a member, as a membership. I'm going somewhere with this morning, and I pray it'll be a help for us. It's a way that we know that we're on the same track together. I want to preach for a few minutes on the topic of exercise unto godliness. Exercise unto godliness. If we have plans to do things or accomplish things, a lot of times maybe people are wanting to watch out for their health, or maybe got a wedding coming up or got an event coming up and want to lose weight or get in shape, feel good, look good, whatever, all those kind of things. But you put a plan into motion. There's things that you do, and you weigh what is more important. Is it more important that I cheat on my diet, or is it more important that I stay true to it and follow it because I see the end result that I want to have? And that's a choice we all have to make. You see, there's things that come in life that will try to keep us from meeting our goals, but see, the Lord wants us to stay on track and meet our spiritual goals for Him. He wants that. We need that. There's battles that we're facing in life, and these things that we come in contact with, it's to show us and to learn us and to teach us. You might not believe that, but it is. So often we say, why, Lord? Why, God? Why this? Why now? Why? A lot of times we ask that question, but it always serves a greater purpose. God wants you to be as strong as you can be. He's got a regimen for us to follow. He's got things for us to do. If you'll see here and just pay attention to what this says this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to go verses 6 through 13. And I'll tell you, I want to be a good minister this morning. I'll go ahead and say that. It's kind of nice when the Bible tells you plain some things, Brother Dale, what to do if you want to be a good minister. I'll just go ahead and get that out of the way this morning. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us and everyone that's been able to be here today. God, that you've led here. It's no mistake that those who are here today is because you allowed us to be here, God, and we thank you for that. God, I pray that you help our minds, help our hearts, help us to be focused on you today. Lord, help me to speak clearly, plainly, Lord, just what you would have to be spoken, God. Just get down to what we need to hear and what we need to see. Lord, I need it. I know it. I'm the first recipient, Lord, probably every message, God, and I thank you for that. But God, I pray you deliver to our church what they need today. Whatever it is that they're facing, either physically or spiritually, God, I know your word has the antidote for it, has what is needed if we'll follow the recipe that you give to us. God, go with us today, Lord, those that are lost here in our midst. God, I pray that you help them. Be with them, Lord. Convict them. Lord, show them the love of Christ. Lord, help them to see it's the goodness of God that brings man to repentance, Lord. And I just thank you for the goodness that you've shown me. God, I pray you go with us today. Be with us. Keep us safe. Keep our heads around our families and our churches, Lord, our church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see here at the first verse that it's talking about, you're talking about Paul giving advice or giving a command to Timothy. You got an older preacher talking to a younger preacher, and that's good advice. It is so good to have good godly friends, as already been mentioned in Sunday school. Some that that can reach out and help you. Someone that's experienced things and can show you things and kind of give you some guidance in situations that you're facing or might be facing. And this is exactly what Paul is doing for Timothy here. Paul was probably in his 30s. He's a young man, and no doubt he was a God-called preacher. He wanted to do what was right. He didn't want to lead anybody astray or anything like that. And Paul knew that, and Paul called him his son in the faith. He had a lot of confidence in him, but he wanted to lead him right, and he wanted to help him to be right. And if I can tell you something this morning, church, that's exactly what I want to help each one of you do. I think about our parents a whole lot, I guess being one myself. I think about our young people and the challenges that we're facing today. It's important that we be on the same page. A lot of things out there. A lot of things that you see coming through, information coming so fast that you've kind of got to filter it in or filter it out very quickly. If you follow the regimen, if you will, of what's being discussed here, you'll be able to do that. It helps us all be on the same page and keeps us in the faith. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up. Brandy can tell you probably one of the most things that I mention to her on a regular basis or pray about or talk about is I want to see the church grow. I need to grow. I want to see you grow. And I'm not talking about necessarily in number. I'm talking about spiritually. That is so important to me. If you're not growing and gaining and learning, then what are we really doing here? Am I being effective? And he's saying here, if you remember to do these things, you'll be a good minister and you'll nourish up. That means to feed and cause to grow. I want you to be prepared for the next thing you're going to face. Is that not what a good coach would do? Is that not what a good teacher would do or a good coach would do? I mean, you can kind of tell what would be good or not. I mean, when people show up to win championships or show up to do things, it don't happen on that day. There's a preparation time. It takes time to work into it. There's a plan that's set into place. He's saying, remember, remind the team what the plan is constantly, consistently. It wouldn't be good to not tell you of dangers that's coming. It wouldn't be good not to tell you what you need to be doing to be successful spiritually, would it? As a pastor, would that be a good thing for me not to do? And then on the time of trials, when situations come up and say, have at it, enjoy. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to sit here on the sideline and watch and see what you do, but good luck with that. That's not how you are successful, is it? That's not gaining. That's not growing. You see things that come to light or things that come through things I've experienced in my life. I don't want anybody to feel alone this morning. That's a bad feeling. I want you to know you're not alone. And I tell you, this is what keeps us aligned together in unity. Put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That's teaching. There's nothing better than good doctrine. If I gave each of you a different policy and procedures manual and say, go do the same job, and they all said different things, how successful would we be as a team? Kind of be everywhere. Well, I thought I was supposed to, this is what you gave me to do. Is it not better that we all have the same policy manual? That's what good doctrine is. Good doctrine keeps us on the same page. Good doctrine is what we're taught. It's what we hold to. It's if we feel like we're kind of straying off somewhere or see somebody straying off somewhere, that's what keeps us constant. That's what keeps us on the right path. Good doctrine. You got to stay in God's word. And what it says here, the reason being, verse number 7, it says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. It would be so easy to talk about things we've heard. Like was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, tradition. The whole, we've always done it this way of doing things. Well, why do you do it that way? A lot of times people don't have an answer, Brother Raymond. It's just, I don't know. That's just kind of the way we always did it. You see, that's what's beautiful about doctrine. It pulls you back in, and God is telling us directly, do it this way. This is the game plan. Do it this way. Refuse these things that you've seen. Profane, that means irreverent to anything sacred. It means polluted, and it's not pure. A lot of times when I see jokes being made, I know sometimes people like to laugh and what have you. I love a good joke. I do. I love laughing. I love having a good time. But when you really think about God's word and his doctrine and what it means, it's really no laughing matter. A lot of times, if you can just lightly get somebody to laugh at something, it kind of takes the edge off, but sometimes it also takes the seriousness off too. It can cast doubt. If people see us laughing, Christians laughing about things, or not holding securely to some things, it might seem to be a joke and be a laughing matter, but God's word is not a laughing matter. The things you are facing in your life is not a laughing matter. It's real to you. It's serious to you. And that's how you take it. It's no laughing matter. But godliness. It says here, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise means to practice. So that's something that you put into practice. That's something that you put into a systematic daily plan. If you're trying to, if you're an athlete, if you're working out or doing something, you know, if you've ever attempted it, you've had to follow some kind of plan if you're going to be successful. What else would keep you on track? How would you know if you're on track or not? My goodness, everything that you see on technology or most things that you have, from watches and Fitbits and apps and everything, what are they? They're calorie counters. They're step counters. And you go back and you look at that and you say, today was a good day because I met my goals. If you have no goals, then how do you know if you met them or not? See, I'm afraid a lot of times in Christianity, once a person gets saved, there's not always a set of goals laid out in front of them. See, that's a failure in discipleship. A young Christian who gets saved should have a system in place, should be directed to have a system in place so they can have help to know if they're on the right track or not. It's called accountability. That's how it works. Accountability is something, if you realize it or not, has really been attacked in many years. But nobody takes accountability for anything anymore. But that athlete, that person that's trying to attain a goal, he knows, she knows, they have to hold accountable to something. There has to be something in place. Or they'll never know if they're winning. They'll never know if they're losing. They'll never know if they're on track. See, that's a beautiful thing about Satan and how he tries to work on us. If he keeps us off to ourselves in our own wives' tales and fables and things like that, a person could think that they're doing well when they're way off track and they're not accomplishing anything. You see, that's what's nice about God's word. That's what's nice about exercising this here, practicing this here, what he has in place for us. It keeps us all on the same page. And you look at the word godliness, that means belief in God and reverence for his character and his laws. How many jokes do you see in this day and time that's related around Christianity? How often do you see, look at it this way, how often do you see a lot of jokes or jokes maybe mentioned about Jewish people? God's chosen people, that's serious business to God. That's his people. He don't want to see his people mocked. We as the church, we're his people. He don't want to see us mocked. We shouldn't be laughing at those jokes, if you will. It's not funny. It's not funny to God. But he's saying here, now look at verse number 8. Now this is the verse you go to if you've started your plan and you've slacked out on your plan. And you're not running, Brother Bill, like you should be. And you're not hitting the treadmill. You're not getting up early. You're not eating right. This is the verse that you think might be the way out kind of verse. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise of this life, or the life that now is, and of the life that was which to come. Would anybody in here say that your physical health is not important? Anybody, any age, would you say that your physical health is not important to you? Most people that are probably more appreciative of their health are those that had good health and maybe have lost it. Maybe have had experienced sicknesses and things in life, or some people, not me, but some people getting older and they have a different view on things. When they say that light's going to come on about 40, it does. It does. Take inventory and double check and you think about it. But nobody here would say that your health is not important to you. Now, granted, sometimes people take it for granted. As you're younger, you maybe not feeling the aches and pains or not having to go to the doctor for things as much. But as you get older and you start looking at things and you start realizing, if you look back and say, you know, I might not have this condition had I done this. Why was I not more mindful of my diet or my exercise regimen when I was younger, when I had more ability, more energy? Why did I not put more effort into it then? I wish I would have. A lot of times that's what we say. I wish I would have done better with this. Had I known this. When I was younger, I didn't know. Back in this day and time, science wasn't saying, or medical professions weren't saying, that this was bad. Now they're saying it's bad. If I'd have known this, I wouldn't have done that then. So there's a lot of regret. I wish I would have known. So here's the thing. What this is saying is, the Bible is not telling us that it's not important to take care of your body. It's saying how much more important it is to take care of your spiritual needs. So much more important. You know, as Brother Tim was reading this morning the prayer, and Brother Tim, I want to add this to our prayer list. We have a lot of prayers for physical things that's taking place, sicknesses. And we do need to pray for those. But we need to pray for our spiritual sicknesses too, Brother Tim. I want that on the list. I need that. You see kind of how it is. It's not taking away from, it's not saying that physical exercise is not important, but it's saying spiritual exercise is so much more important because it's profitable unto all things, everything. You know what that means? That means every facet of your life, it's important to. Everything. Not just what we do here in church, but everything we do outside of church. We need to be a better witness. I need to be a better witness. Something that the Lord has laid on my heart this week, specifically, is it's easy to invite people to church and hope people get what they get here. It's nice and it's easy to have Facebook and have a social media presence or an online presence. That is wonderful. But the best thing that you and I can do is have a personal appearance, a personal presence where they are. I just see on campus being where they are day in and day out. That's where we need to be. And it's not just on campus. It's in town. It's where they're at out there. You see, here's the thing. The Ethiopian eunuch, I use him a lot, but Philip did not talk to him in church. He didn't say, brother, if you'd come to my, or not brother, because he wasn't saved at that point, but he was asking, he said, you know, if you would come down to the church, we would talk to you about salvation. He met with him right there, where he was at. I believe, and I've experienced in a lot of success in personal one-on-one witnessing. That's a lot of times when you have maybe rapport with a person. It's just you and that person. And you can just calmly and quietly talk about God. That's when people a lot of times will ask those challenging questions that you have to search for sometimes. Well, what about this? What about this? Help me to understand this. You see, if we start exercising unto godliness, it's profitable for all things in the workplace. Being a good employee, doing those things that you're supposed to do. Not just to try to make the boss happy, but because you know in your heart it's right. Because that's what God wants you to do. What we do in the workplace, what we do in the home place. Being that example for our children. See, that's what he's talking about here, is being an example unto all things. And promise of this life that now is and the life that's to come, it's an eternal promise. It's an eternal plan. It'd be okay to kind of have a plan for this life, but wouldn't you want an eternal plan that's good for this life and the life to come? It's easy to stay on track with. Verse number 9 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of all kind reception. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. We both work We labor in the faith. We suffer reproach from non-believers. We suffer these things. Why? Why do we suffer these things? When Satan gets you alone, if he hasn't, he probably will. If Satan catches you alone and he starts working on your mind and he starts telling you things like, hey, the inside's against you, the outside's against you, why don't you just quit? Is it really worth it? I praise God when I hear of these conversions. When I hear about these Brother Raymond overseas, I question that a whole lot too. I mean, why are we not experiencing that here in the States? When I talk to missionaries, when I talk to people, Brother Jeff and different ones, what I have always heard them say is they are hungry for the Word. They're hungry for it. They want it. You know, that's the people you want to be in front of. That's the people you want to preach to. That's the people you want to teach to. I'm being honest. If you worked all day, you like to cook, or you worked all day and you made a meal, and you invited your friends over, and your friends came over, and they looked at all that you had prepared for them, they say, I'm just not hungry. My goodness, why'd you come? Are you hungry this morning? Think about it. We see in other states or other countries, they're hungry for it. They desire it. They want it. They're seeing something that they didn't know they could have. Here it's almost just like, well, I'll see what else is on the menu. I'll just see what else comes down the way. I mean, that's what it is. I'm not hungry for that. I've heard that before. Maybe if the world could see why it's profitable, they would be more hungry for it. Maybe if they saw in our lives why it's profitable, that why this diet is profitable, maybe they'd say, well, I want some of that because I can see a difference. I see the profit in it. I see the abundance in it. I see why that would be good for me to have. But I think about that a whole lot, and I've heard, and I do believe here in the States or in the Bible Belt especially, you just get, people have heard the gospel so much, you just kind of take it for granted. I've heard it. But you have to take accountability and believe it for yourself for it to be for you. I'll show you that here in just a minute. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. What that tells me is that's why we don't quit. It's because we trust in God. That is our plan. That's what I hold on to. How do you quit the plan? How do you quit salvation? Or how do you quit the plan? You don't. You hold on to what God has given you. That's the plan. From here on out, that's the plan. And I like what it says here. We trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. All men. Every single one of them. It doesn't leave anybody out here. Every man, woman, and child that's ever lived has salvation in one man. If they realize it or not, there's many who have not accepted him. We know that. But look what it says here. Especially of those that believe. If you're a believer, you should know what you got in the Lord. You should appreciate that. He's the Savior of all humanity, but especially to those of us who've accepted Him. That's a special relationship. That's what makes the Word of God alive. That's what makes it real. People can read things and see and say, I know that, I've heard that. I've talked to a lot of people that can quote Bible scripture, but I don't know if they're believing what they're reading. That's the difference. Can I tell you this morning that everything in here is true? And it doesn't rely on your believing in it to be true. It's true because God said it. He's asking us to believe it. The power of it that we have with it is because we choose to believe it or not. That's the power of it. That's the power of God's Word. And so what he's saying here, to keep us all on the same page, for us all to exercise godliness, to stay reverent to Him, I like the fact that he kind of puts it in just a few things, about six things. And I'm not saying this by way of introduction, by the way. I'm just about finished. I won't take much longer. But I like that. You know, if we make plans so complicated, just like the Judaizers, that they can't even follow it, Brother Raymond, then how are we going to expect somebody else to follow it? See, God knows what we're made of. He knows how we are. He's saying, focus on these things. He's telling Paul, Paul is telling Timothy, tell your church, tell your listeners, tell your people to focus on these six things. And this is what will help you stay on the right track and stay on the right place. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. He's saying, Timothy, I know you're a young man. And you're probably going to be intimidated when you talk to older people. Older people might look down at you and say, you're too young, you don't know. But what Paul is telling him, if you stay in God's word and you follow God's plan like I'm giving it to you, you stay with it. Because they might not be following God's plan. It doesn't matter what your age is here this morning if you're following God's plan. If you've accepted Him and you're following His plan, you keep doing what you're doing. It's about the experience and what these people have been taught. You know, when I studied, as I was studying, I thought about this. There's a lot of young people in our community that have experienced things you and I as older people have never experienced. They've been educated and experienced in some things that you and I have no idea what they're going through. And we need to be a help and a mentor. A mentor to them. That's a lot of what this is talking about. Again, coaching, mentoring, helping them. And I'll say this right here before I go down this list. I'll say this here. When we set goals to meet them physically, let's just use weightlifting. That's something I could kind of maybe use here. If you have a certain goal that you want to lift by a certain amount of time, you start a regimen. And usually what you do is you ask somebody that's been there before and said, this is what worked for me. This is the plan that I was successful with. And Paul is telling Timothy right here, this is what's successful. But I want us to understand this in life, the spiritual battles that we face, but I want you to see the correlation of what I'm saying here. Does the weight ever get lighter? If you set a certain amount of weight that you want to lift, let's say it's 100 pounds, and you want to lift that weight by a certain amount of time, and you keep working out, and when you first start, you cannot lift that weight. It's too heavy for you. It's too burdensome for you. You can't lift it. And then you keep doing the plan, and then one day you can lift that weight. Did the weight ever get lighter? The weight stayed the same, did it not? The problem stayed the same. The adversary stayed the same. But you got stronger. See, it changed you. It didn't change the weight. You know, when the Lord was dealing with my heart about this, He's saying, look, you need to be stronger. You need to exercise unto godliness. You need to exercise these things because the battles are not going to get easier. The weight is not going to get lighter, but I can help you get stronger. That's what the Word of God says. This is His regimen. I'll hurry on right here. It says here, these six things, says, let no man despise thy youth, but thou be an example of the believers. You lead by example. As the coach, as the trainer, as the teacher, if they are not setting the example, if they are not leading the way, they can in no wise expect their team to do that. They have to do it first. See, these messages, I told you, when they speak to me, maybe before they speak to somebody else, they always do. I'm telling you, they always do. So, be an example. You do these things. If you're not doing these things, you can't stand before people and preach to them to do these things. If you're not doing it, you can't preach it. It's not real. For somebody to see the value of it, the importance of it, you have to do it first. Be thou an example of the believers in word. Now you look at the word here. You say God's word. We'd always use and go by God's word, but also see the way this is written in context. Be an example in word, that means our talk and our speech. Things we say, things we do. James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. What we say is important. What we tell people is important. I know people like to pick and play, but there's some things you just cannot pick and play about. There's some things that's important all the time. It's serious. There's no wavering on it. And I like what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. It says, to study, to be quiet, to do your own business. And that's something I've thought a lot about. You know, in this day and time, when things happen, you see things happen in the news or what have you, there's times it's, you feel like you want to make a response or something like that. But when I read this here, it says, study to be quiet. Just hold on. It's okay to be quiet. You don't have to be the first one to the punch, so to speak, in a verbal confrontation. So that's a big thing today. Social media has it that way. Everybody wants to run to the blog or whatever it is and get it out there. But the Bible teaches us to study to be quiet and do your own business. Focus on what you've got going on in your life. Focus on the things in your life. That's important. I don't know anybody here that would say, you know, I need more on my plate right now. I really do. My plate's empty and I don't have nothing going on. I need to add more to it. He says, study to be quiet and do your own business. Focus on what I have you. Focus on this plan that I have for you. I like that this morning. In word, in conversation. Conversation, say, well, you just said word, but conversation is a little bit more than that. It's our behavior. It's what we do. It's how we act. It's how we converse with people. Do you kind of just let them lead? Let them lead the conversation? Let them lead the action? And do you kind of become a chameleon and just follow along with what they do? Or do you kind of stand your ground and say, no, I've got to guard my conversation? Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So, preacher, are you telling me that the only thing we can talk about is the gospel now? If we're going to be a Christian, that's the only thing we can talk about? I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that everything that we do in our life should always be a positive reflection of the gospel. Brother Ben brought up a very interesting point. You know, a lot of times we might miss out on the opportunity to witness to somebody because the gospel didn't come up. If they don't see it in our life and they don't see it, and if we don't say it, then how are we being a light? What are we doing? Our conversation, our behavior. They should see it in our actions and what we say to them. Number three, charity. A lot of people say love and pass right over that. Love and pass right over that. Did you know charity is a whole lot more? If it meant love, if that's all that was needed to be said there, that's what it would have said. It would have said love. I can tell you I love you. We've talked about this before. You hear it a lot. I don't believe it's wrong to use the word as an encouragement. I believe in it. But charity is a little bit different. Charity is a little bit different. It's a little bit deeper. It says here, Colossians 3:14, it says, above all these things, things that were mentioned in Colossians there, but I just wanted to just focus on this word here. It says, above all things, put charity on, which is the bond of perfectness. That's the tie of perfectness, the tie of the highest degree of goodness or holiness. Charity, what is that? Love? No, what is that? What is charity? Charity is love in action. Now, it's beautiful to do that as an individual. It is. That's what it teaches us to do. And love in action, what I believe that means is when somebody has a need, you make sure that need is met. If Josh has a need, me as his father, I have a specific burden to meet that need. And I'm fine with that. It makes me happy to take care of that need, Brother Norman. If I've got it, it makes me happy to do that. To provide for that need, because the Bible teaches me to do that. It says if I don't, I'm worse than an infidel. Is that not what it says? So charity, love, and action. When you see somebody in need, they need something. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Anybody? Give? Is that okay to do? If you saw somebody in need, is it okay for you to say, hey, you've got a need. I've got it here. You know what? It's all right for the church to do that too. That's okay. That's what God said to do. God said this person is in need. Give it to them. I'm going to say this here. And I learned it here in this church. Doctrine from this church. Faith, promise, giving, different things. It leads to the same thing. I have always been taught, if you see somebody have a need, you take out of your pocket or whatever that need is. If it's something else, whatever it may be, if it's food or gas or whatever it is, you take it and you give it to them. Trusting that the Lord will take care of their need as He's going to take care of your need. I promise you, 100% of the time without fail, God has always provided for my need. I have never missed giving something in the name of the Lord. Never. 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 You talk about 100% success rate. I have never given because the Lord had told me to give and it returned void back to me. I'm not preaching that you're going to be wealthy and rich and all that. I'm not talking about that, but I promise you when your need comes, it'll be there for you. See, that's what charity is. When you see somebody in need, and let's say, it's what he said here, if they're hungry and they ask for bread, you don't give them a rock, you give them what they need. And just as it's okay for me to give as an individual, it's okay for the church to give. God will bless it. God will bless it. I've never seen it. I've experienced different things as a pastor, and you give things out, and sometimes big things come and big things happen. You say, boy, that's a big amount. What are we going to do? God says, do it, because I said, I will take care of you. See if I don't open up a blessing. That's what He says. Charity. One important thing. He said, above all things. That's the highest degree of goodness. Number four, the Spirit. I want us to turn to John for just a second. Gospel of John, chapter number 16. See, here's the thing. You know, we're talking about our regimen, staying in the faith, staying where God would have us to be, exercising godliness, knowing that you're staying where you're supposed to be. What if there's differences of opinions? What if you're talking to groups of people and people have differences of opinions and different thoughts and things like that, and you're really wanting to understand, Lord, what do you want me to do? There's times I do go and I ask for advice on certain things, but you know, I believe the way God deals with us, there's certain things in our life we should be able to go directly to Him and Him give you that confirmation. Directly from Him. That's what His Word is for. That's what staying in His Word is all about. But John 16, verse number 13, it says, howbeit when He, it's talking about when the Spirit is going to come and interdwell in man, that guiding force is what it's talking about. It says, howbeit when He, comma, the Spirit of truth. Exactly what it's talking about. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. There's times, Brother Nathan, when I'm studying on something and I want to know that I'm going the right way, I'll open up God's Word and I'll start reading and ask for direction. And that is how He guides us. I'm not saying if you have good godly friends and people you can trust to go talk to, I understand that. But there is something very special when you open God's Word and He talks directly to you. And the Spirit of truth shall guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear that He shall speak, and He shall show you things to come. The Lord doesn't, He's not going to lead any of us wrong. You stay on His regimen, He's going to lead us in the right path. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of me, of mine, and shall show unto you all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Lord is going to direct us and show us all things that we need. through His Spirit in faith. Faith simply, that's confidence in God. Putting our trust, as Abraham, it was imputed to him for righteousness, as he put his confidence and his faith in God. And purity. Talked a lot about purity last week. Not mixed. Freedom from pollution. James talks a lot about having a pure relationship with God, a pure religion. You stay in God's Word, He will keep it pure, not mixed with anything else. That's why it's important for us to follow godly doctrine. Good doctrine has already been said. In verse number 13, it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." He's telling Timothy to stay in his Word. Study. Systematically study His Word. Read it. Read it front to back, back to front. Ask the Lord to show you things, teach you things. If you take a period of time, you're getting out of His Word, what are you following? What doctrine are you following if you're not inside the policy book, the plan book? It's talking about the importance of it, to exhortation, to encouraging. I want to encourage you this morning. God's Word's exciting. God's Word will help you. When you're worried about things that you're trying to decide and trying to figure out as a mom, as a dad, as someone in government or what have you, if you go to God's Word, He'll show you. It will encourage you. Then you can stand on it and say, "I'm going to do this on the authority of God's Word, not my opinion or because it's the opinion of popular belief. That's what people voted." You can get it straight from God. That's exercising godliness. That's what makes you, set you apart from other people. It's not going along with the crowd. You're exercising unto godliness. You're practicing reverence. You're saying, "God, I put you above myself and everybody else, and I'm going to follow you." That's the difference. That's what being a Christian is about. Following Him into doctrine. The Bible says a whole lot about the Bible, does it not? His words. Think about when Jesus came down and He dwelt among men, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He spoke it. You imagine what that would have been like to have walked with Jesus and Him speak the Word to you. And He's preserved that for us, that we can do the same thing through His Word. That's how He talks to us. If you will, stand with me this morning. Every eye closed, every head bowed.